and died of an aneurysm overnight. He's got 3 kids. Why not him too? Now there's 3 fatherless children. Lord, why didn't you save him from his cross? Why didn't you save that little girl over in Shelby? No more than 5 years old, 4 probably, if even that, who just died of cancer. Why didn't you intervene? Both for her and for me. Why didn't you save yourself and us? And us. Jesus, if you're the Son of God, why don't you take those crosses off of those people's backs, off of my back, off of all of our backs? Because I know I'm your pastor. I know your crosses. I know you've got them. That question is not an uncommon one. Today is Christ the King Sunday and the last Sunday of the church year. It is today that we are given to celebrate Jesus Christ as the creator of galaxies, and the head of the church and the king of the universe. And on this day, we must ask, what kind of king is this anyhow? What kind of king does not use his power to get himself off of that cross? What kind of king is this who doesn't avoid the shame, who doesn't avoid the scorn of men, who doesn't avoid suffering when it comes his way? What kind of king is this who doesn't use his dominion over everything to get those whom he loves off their crosses too, to save us from such immense, immense suffering? And what you must know is that today we are at the very heart of the mystery of God. Because today we're at the heart of the very mystery of love. Our Lord Jesus Christ chose to experience firsthand the places of greatest pain in this world. The place where he endured all of our woes, all of our suffering, all of our hurt. The place that we call Golgotha and Calvary. Right? The place that huge cross is a symbol of and a representation of to us here. When we are met with the Holy Cross, we are met face to face with how much our God loves us. Where he chose not to avoid the suffering of this world, but to endure it to the end. You would think that this is obvious, but we all need reminding from time to time, at least I do, that you and I are not the same as God. Seems obvious, right? I think, though, we forget that. I think we forget that. Because what do we do when it comes to suffering? Right? When suffering, we see suffering coming our way, what do? Well, we try to avoid it at all costs, don't we? We've even come up with religions specifically devoted to avoiding suffering, right? One of them is called Buddhism, by the way, if you didn't know that. It's the whole point of Buddhism, is to avoid suffering. When we only get a taste of suffering, just a hint of suffering, and we feel it weighing us down, what's the first thing that we try to do? What is the first thing we do? We complain. At least I'll speak for myself. I complain, right? I'm a baby. Like, I get sick, it's just no good, right? You can ask any one of these people sitting right here. You don't have to shake your head right now. Why, God? You know, why me? Why am I going? Why have you allowed this to happen to me? Right? And what happens is some folks decide after that suffering not to follow God anymore. That Christ is not their king. Why would he allow this to happen to me? And it's an interesting and really disturbing characteristic of human nature, like to say the least, that the whole world can be going to hell. The whole world could be suffering. Children dying of war, dying of starvation, dying of genocide. Everyone else suffering. And we never ask the question why. But as soon as something goes wrong with me, with my people, with my friends, the people that I love, what's the first thing that I say? Why? Why, God? Why is this happening? Right, the Bible talks about the reality of the old Adam, right, remaining in us after holy baptism. Right? If you question whether or not he exists, that's him. That he asked that question, why? When the whole world can be going to hell, and you only ask why when it comes to you. That's the old Adam. That's fallen Adam in a nutshell. But thanks be to our God that Jesus Christ the King is not this way. If you think he is, then you've missed something huge about the Christian religion. You've missed seeing that our God is the King who makes himself to be what? The suffering servant. He is the Lion who makes himself to be the Lamb because of his love for you. The nature of love, you see, it's never to avoid pain, nor the places of pain. And when you love someone, what do? You'll endure anything for that person. Right? You'll go anywhere. You'll go to hell for that person. That is just simply the way that love is. Love goes straight to the places of pain. Any parent who's ever held an injured or sick child knows exactly what I'm talking about. Right? You'd give anything just to be with her, to hold her, you know, to bind up her wounds and comfort her. Why? Because that's what love does. Love seeks out the places of pain and seeks out the people who are suffering. And I'd be willing to bet that not much on this earth would ever be able to keep you away from that child, especially when she's sick and she's needing you the most. And I'd also be willing to bet that you'd pray to God that what? You could take her place. Right, that you could substitute out for that child who's suffering. Why is that? Because love is much stronger and much more courageous than pain. Much stronger than suffering. This, beloved of the Lord, is who God is. This is who God is. It's at the very heart of who the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are. To go and to be with the people that he loves who are in the midst of their pain and suffering, and even, by the way, to trade places with them. Because when he beheld the earth and saw the pain that we had brought on ourselves, right, we did all this to ourselves. When he saw the world sick, on our deathbeds and dying, in dire need of a physician. Not only did he come to us, he came to us and said, I will take their disease into my flesh. I will go through all of their sorrows with them. In their darkest hour, I will stand with them and hold them even through the valley of the shadow of death. In fact, when the abyss was reaching up its cold hand to grab a hold of us, what did he do? He stepped in between us and the abyss. He stepped into the breach, and he said, not them. Take me instead. Let me go. Let me go even to hell. Because the true king real king. Instead of abiding on a heavenly throne, our king does what? He comes to us. He takes on our flesh and comes to us. And he shows forth the height of his power as he reigns as the savior of the whole world from a different throne, a throne that is stained with his blood because he's nailed to it. That's what our king does. True kingship, true power, is God hanging from that cross for us. Because the true king gives up his life for his subjects. His suffering is our healing. And it's the true power of this strange king. He has the power that earthly conquerors have envied but have never, ever had. Because he wields the power to change the human heart, to create faith and hope, and most of all, to create and sustain love. The power to cast out consuming bitterness and wrath, which I know something about, and put compassion and love in its place. He saved others. Let him save himself, they said. And he could have, right? He's no powerless victim here. He's no martyr. He is Jesus Christ, the King of creation, the infinite creator of the galaxies. What does the world do? The world mocks their king. Back then they offered him sour wine and a crown made of thorns for his sacred head. Do this to the one who causes the sun to rise and set and holds all of the universe into existence, keeping it from collapsing in on itself. This is the one on whom all existence hinges, the true king whose power is made perfect in weakness. In this life, do not flee from suffering. Do not flee from suffering. I have encouraged many of you to let your own suffering direct you to the suffering of Jesus Christ when you're going through it, which I realize that's a bold thing to ask you when you are suffering, when you are feeling intense, intense pain. But I do it nonetheless. When suffering comes, and it will, again, know that it's through weakness and long suffering that God chose to bring salvation to you. Let your crosses direct your hearts and your minds to the cross of the true King. And know not only that your King has gone before you in this, but he's also right there beside him. In all of the crosses that you carry, he's right there beside him. It's his desire to strip you of your defenses, to mortify and to crucify you, precisely because he loves you. To make you to be the other thief on the cross, the righteous, repentant thief who knows his crimes, knows what he deserves, and still cries to the king who suffers beside him, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And why would Christ want us to be in such a position as the penitent thief who hung beside him? Well, so that every time that we lift up our eyes, we will see and know the love and the presence of our God and King, who suffers right there beside him. This King of creation, who will come with all power and glory, is the crucified one who was nailed to his throne. The judge with all power has bled for those he judges. The one who separates humanity into the sheep and the goats has died for both. And now the trumpet blast at the last day is the joy. joyous sounding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the King. He is the victorious Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And so on this last day of the Christian year, I say to you, and I pray to Christ, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly.